Yeah, I'm. I'm on. I'm coming. You okay? I'm sorry about that. We'll get tuned in as we go along here. This isn't used to me, and I'm about as far advanced in electronic as Jed Clampett was on the TV, so you don't even know who Jed Clampett was. Well, some of you do. Yes, I'm filling in for the pastor today. Pastor had an emergency out of town. Family comes first for Dennis, and that's fine. The elders wouldn't have it any other way. Unfortunately, I'm an elder, and I didn't have to have it. I'd get to have it any other way this week. So bear with me today. We're going to speak about Jonah today, and if you want to find that in the Bible, good luck. It's only 3 pages long. So start looking right now. In my Bible, it's on page 1476, but I don't know what it is in yours. So we'll go through the story of Jonah. And yeah, you've heard it before, swallowed by a fish, but there's a lot more in there. Before we begin today, let's pause for a moment of prayer. And let's just remember the pastor and his family. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me this day, not to show off my skills of speaking because I have none, but just be willing to look at your word and share it with those that would hear this day. In the absence of the pastor this day, we just ask you to be with him and his family and to work your miracles there. And we just look forward to Dennis being back here shortly. But just now, just be with us as we worship, bring our cares to you, and learn together. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Speaking for God from up here once in a while, and Gene and I are glad that it is once in a while, is no more important than whoever cleans the bathrooms or brings a salad for a meal after a funeral, or who mows the grass. It's all the same. It's for God's glory. Yeah, you can have that donut. That's fine. I see. In the pastor's absence, if you need to speak with someone, Gene and I would be glad. If you need something today, we'll give you our phone number. We might change our number, but no, you contact us, please, until Dennis gets back. We're glad for visitors today. It's good to see you guys today. And have we got the best-looking youth around today? They're looking fine. Going to work earlier this week, I had forgot something, and I was calling my wife to see if she could get it for me and bring it to me. And one of the pictures on the screen here just a moment ago was a picture of a deer. And, you know, this time of year, I don't really look for the deer to cross your path. They're just, this isn't the time of the year that they're out and around, I didn't think. And I'm going along through Cornfield City, and I'm talking to Barb, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. A deer crossed a path of a car right in front of me, and they never saw him coming. And there was a second deer that crossed my path, and I didn't see him coming. And it was in inches. So look out there. You never know what's going to happen. Anyway, Jonah. Who was this guy? There's famous men in history. John D. Rockefeller. Some of you older folks would remember a famous man in America's history. Jesse James was a famous man. Wyatt Earp, Rob Sisler's famous man. Just go ahead and add him right there to the list. And then there's notorious men. Beg your pardon? Yes, he is. Notorious men. Also, Rob Sisler, top of the list, right up there. And you've got good company, Rob. Judas, notorious man. Spiro Agnew, another great guy from history. You kids don't know who that is. Rod Blagojevich, notorious. Okay. But there's godly men in history, and Jonah's one of those. But Jonah also was a prophet in the old days, and there's four guys right before and right after him in the Bible: Amos, Obadiah, and Micah. Don't really know too much about them, do you? But they all had their place. They answered the call that God had for them. And Jonah did too, but it took him just a little while. All right, Jonah, who was he? Let's find out here. Let's read just a couple of verses, 1-3 right now. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. In the old days in the Bible, a prophet usually spoke to his own people. But sometimes they spoke against the enemies, and they could do that from afar, from a distance. Doesn't take too much courage to stand here and talk about North Korea or Iran. Maybe that's, you know, who we would speak about today. But this was a little different. Jonah was told to go there and then speak against them. Do you have the courage for that? Well, when God tells you to do that, he'll equip you too. It's not like you're going on your own. But where was Nineveh? Nineveh was 600 miles away to the east of where Jonah was. He doesn't want to go, so he decides, I'll just run away. Nineveh was on the east bank of the Tigris River, and there was no evidence of Nineveh for 2,500 years. This is taking place about between 790 and 750 before Christ, about 2,800 years ago. But until almost 200 years ago, there was no trace of a great city of 120,000, which doesn't tell the whole story because usually women and children weren't included. So maybe you could say 300,000 plus. The city had an inner wall that was 50 feet high and 100 feet wide. Should be able to see something left of that after all the years, but it wasn't. It was swallowed by the desert. He decides to sail to Tarshish. Scholars aren't sure exactly where that is. It could be as far away as Sardinia in the Mediterranean. It could be as far away as a place in Spain, 2,000 miles to the west. Now, if you're going to run away from God, you might as well do it good. Or try. Know anybody else from the Bible that tried to run from God? Moses did. He killed a man, and then he tended sheep in the desert for 40 years. Oh, speaking of 40 years, I think when he finally did come back, he led the Israelites in the desert for another 40 years. Jeremiah, another prophet in the Bible, considered silencing the word of God because he didn't want to do what God said. How do you think that was going to work? Elijah, you ever hear of him? He wanted to give up. He said, I can't do it anymore. I just quit. There's an evangelist by the name of David Ring. And I think I've showed some of his movies in Sunday school. It's really hard to understand him because of cerebral palsy. He has a tough time getting the words out. But his question is, when people are supposed to go serve, hi, my name is David Ring. I have cerebral palsy. what's your problem? Jonah's other problem was, if I go there and Nineveh gets saved and my own country, Israel, remains corrupt, that looks bad. So why did Jonah run? Hostile nation. Like I said, he was going to go to a hostile nation. Maybe you wouldn't want to go to North Korea. Maybe you wouldn't want to go to Iran today. That's a comparison. Second thing. Israel was like France. How many times have they been run over? France could say two or three times in a lifetime that their country has been stomped on. And the third thing, if Nineveh didn't fall, then Jonah's a liar. Who wants to be called a liar? So Jonah runs. Jonah gets his ticket for the boat from a guy that looks like William Shatner. He boards a Phoenician ship. Now, did you ever notice that you don't hear much about the ocean or sailing when you consider Israelites? They're right on the Mediterranean Ocean, or sea, whatever you want to call it. But there's not much in the Bible about sailing other than on the little Sea of Galilee, which is really a lake. He boards a Phoenician ship. Those were the real sailors of their days. They know that they mapped and sailed the entire Mediterranean and maybe farther. They really aren't sure. Scientists aren't, or scholars. He gets on a ship. I have to think it was Carnival Cruise Line, just the way things went. But maybe it wasn't. If you're going to get on a ship, and the Bible says that it was loaded with iron and lead and metals, something about they don't float, you know, would you want to get on that thing? Maybe that wasn't a good idea. He leaves from Joppa. Where do we hear about Joppa elsewhere in the Bible? Well, later, Peter visits Cornelius at Joppa. Joppa's a coast town. And you know, when you look at the whole story of Jonah, why didn't God just take him down and spank him and say, you're going to Nineveh, and forget this running around part? It's because we have free will. It's because I have free will. Maybe you do too. It's up to us. God is glorified when we do what he wants us to do. Lessons to learn about Jonah. Well, God's kind of powerful. He can control the sea. Hey, he made it. When we're disobedient, the second thing, we're miserable. You ever wonder why you're miserable? Better look. And thirdly, a lesson to learn, to be swallowed by a fish. Really? Who wants to be swallowed by a fish? That's just not good. But really, it's a sign of how later Jesus would be resurrected. It'd be impossible, you would think in your mind, to be swallowed by a fish and come out of this story and tell it to somebody. But he does. Let's look at a few more verses. Chapter 1, verse 4, and on from there. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault and this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. God's purpose here was not just to smash the boat or to smash Jonah into submission. But what it did, it gave Jonah concern for the people around him, like we should have. Remember, Jonah boarded a ship with foreigners. These weren't his own people. And Jonah was asleep below. This is my own opinion, but I don't think he was sleeping. Remember, Israelites, landlubbers, and now on the sea, he was seasick. He was so sick he couldn't stand up. So Jonah says, "I'm Hebrew." Everybody knew who a Hebrew was, even if they didn't like him. They knew the Hebrews were God's chosen people. And so the question, what'd you do? Jonah apparently bragged about running from God. And then during the storm, the light came on in Jonah's mind that he might not live to see Nineveh get saved. So then he goes to the people next to him, like we need to do. Nobody knows our friends better than we do. Tammy has different friends than I do. Barb has different people that she knows than I know. Beg your pardon?
They're not friends, they're just people.
No, they're probably friends. Thank you. See what I mean? Did you know what Jonah's name means? It means dove. Well, what's that got to do with anything? I don't know either. I've lost my place in my notes. We'll move along. Let's talk about the great fish. Was it a walleye? I had some of that Friday night. That was pretty good. But I don't think walleye and me, no, I don't think they're that big. Was it a dolphin? Their mouth's too narrow. It can't be a dolphin. Was it a whale? When you think about it, does it really matter to God? If he was going to put Jonah on the inside, it doesn't make any difference if it was a bluegill or a sardine. There have been reports in history of whalers having a man go overboard in the frenzy of catching the whale, or harpooning him, whatever you want to call it. And hey, where'd Joe go? And he was found alive inside the whale when they cut the whale open. So, yeah, God can do anything he wants, but sometimes he just brings it to light. So why was Jonah swallowed? Well, had to save him from drowning. Man can't live underwater. It doesn't work. Second reason, discipline. Oh, nobody wants that. He had to discipline his prophet. He had a job to do, and he wasn't going to do it until he was forced to. And again, this foreshadows the resurrection of one greater than Jonah that came from Galilee. Did you know that? Jesus came from Galilee, so did Jonah. Probably didn't know that. All right, we need to read on a little further in the story. And again, it says here in 17, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Anybody want to take his place? Chapter 2, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Would you be able to do that? There wasn't any light in there. Whale guts. I don't think I wanted to be in there. He said, in my distress, yeah, no kidding, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depth of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Three days and three nights. That might be a movie title, but that's not what we're talking about today. Christ rose on the third day. How did Jonah know he was in the belly of a whale for 3 days? He couldn't see the sun. If he had a watch, I'll bet it didn't work. He wouldn't have had cell phone service there either. I think that would have just not worked. If he was sick on the boat, could you imagine how sick he was in the belly of the whale? Imagine the odor. Imagine going up for air, down for fish, up for air, down for fish. He's seasick all over again. The whale's stomach growls, but what the whale hears is somebody praying in his stomach. No wonder the whale spewed him out. It was like a upset stomach. I want this guy out of here. Now, it depends what Bible scholar you listen to. Jonah might have been the first astronaut. He was spewed out onto dry ground, and Nineveh was 600 miles away. That's quite a feat. You know, by the time he walked 600 miles, he wouldn't look like he was in a whale's tummy. But anyway, that's beside the point. So here comes Jonah to the edge of the city. Seaweed wrapped around his head. Partially digested. Jonah starts his ministry. And what does it say in chapter 3? Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. That still works today. Our nation is changing, probably not for the better, but we still have today. And while we still have today, there is hope. The thing we need to notice about Jonah's ministry is that he went from street to street. He didn't go to the top first. He went to the people. And that's what I was saying before. Those that we know, the people around us, the people right outside the door. Our mission is to go to the neighborhoods in Freeport, or Lena, or Rydot, or Oneeko, or Red Oak, and where's Ryan at? Even Pearl City. Yeah, got to include Pearl City. Hope and change is not going to come from Washington. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. Evangelize one person at a time is the only way. Last week, the pastor called for us to step out, get training. Thursday night, 6:30, be here or be square. Get training so that we can change America. This may be America's last chance for change. Chapter 4. So what happened? But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Well, what for? He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, this is not what I said when I was still at home. Is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" So Jonah pouted. Oh, that's not in there. Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head. He must have been bald like me. And ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have any right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" And he's concerned about this city too. Will you go where God asks you to go? When God chose Jonah, he wanted his people, in other words, the church, to have a part in the salvation decided for Nineveh. If Jonah receives the call, or we do, if he is truly saved, if we are, then it's for others that we serve. We must be so filled with the grace that God gave us that we realize it is primarily for others. The Christian is not the man or woman who is saved by Christ. They are men or women that God uses for the salvation of others by Christ. Again, will you go and serve? Or will you be a meal for a really big fish? Amen.